Back here on 102.5 The Game, Darren McFarland, Steve Lehman alongside News Channel 5 as we sit here in Bridgestone Arena. Tonight it's the Predators and San Jose Sharks. Puck drop at 7, pregame for you starting at 6. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. I've decided before we get to our next guest, Steve, that we probably need to implement a segment every day on the show. This is what happened in college hoops last night, just in case you missed. Because I feel
not
like
bad.
We could do that segment every day, right? We could have started this a month ago.
We could have, but nobody, unfortunately, pays attention to college basketball until about February the 4th.
Yeah.
But if that's when you tuned in this year, you're seeing a heck of a February right now because anything can happen on any given night. It is wide open.
It is crazy. I can't catch everything, and sometimes I get up first thing, and I'm looking at the scores. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I feel like that's the reaction every morning. All right, to talk a little college hoops, Iman Brennan is on the line with us from the Fieldhouse. He is their college basketball analyst. Iman, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Do you feel like we could do that segment every day?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I cover the sport for a living, and I have a tough time keeping up on things. Even last night I was looking through – just looking at SMU's recent scores for like bubble watch research stuff, and I was like, oh man, they scored 37 points in a game? Oh wow, I completely missed that. There's just random little tidbits like that, let alone all the big storylines.
Well, there's only like 350 teams to keep up on, so it's understandable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very true, very true.
What are we getting ourselves into as we are just around the corner from conference tournaments and then the NCAA tournament? Are we in for a wild ride? Should we buckle up?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I think, we have a handful of pretty clear national title contenders. I think it's, Virginia, Villanova, Duke, Michigan State, and maybe you could put Purdue in there and possibly Cincinnati because of the way they guard. But I don't think any of those teams are really flawless. I think Michigan State's probably the most balanced and arguably the most talented, although Duke is there too. But in terms of great offense and great defense, really Michigan State and Purdue are the two sort of standouts. But every other team has the capability of reaching another level on one end of the floor or the other. And it makes for a group of, if you're picking your Final Four or your national title, there is no, it's almost a cliche to say, but we do have seasons when there are dominant teams. I mean, it was a couple years ago, Kentucky was, 38-1 or 38-0 when they got to the Final Four. It does happen. We don't really have that this year. I think there are teams that are separated, but they are flawed enough and just inconsistent enough that it's not hard to imagine any of them losing in the first weekend of the tournament.
I noticed you didn't say North Carolina, the team that's been to the national championship game 2 years in a row. They went up to Louisville on Saturday and just wiped the floor with the Cardinals. They go to Syracuse last night. They beat the Orange. Do you feel like they're getting hot at the right time? Is this a sneaky team that could be there at the end again?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think, again, North Carolina is the type of team, and I think there's probably 15 or 20 that it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, that team could totally, would that team surprise me if they were in the national title game? No, not really. But, in terms of – I wouldn't place them at that level of the Villanovas or Virginias or maybe even the Dukes of the world. But I do think they are obviously playing great basketball at the right time. I thought that win in Syracuse last night was really impressive because – It had all the makings of a game you just give away and lose on the road and momentum sort of overtakes you. And they held out at the end and got a couple stops when they needed in a really tough environment. And that's the kind of stuff that you get when you have guys like Joel Berry and Luke May and Theo Pinson that are really experienced and also really talented. And I think that helps in the tournament. I think the way they shoot the ball this year, which is unusual for Roy Williams' teams, he's always been kind of a low post or jump shot type of guy and is almost not dogmatic, but sort of old school in his approach to what kind of shots the Tar Heels take. This year they're shooting the ball really well from the perimeter and they're shooting it more often. And I think that makes them interesting in terms of, what their ceiling is when they get in the tournament, because matchup wise, sometimes you just got to make threes, you got to make shots. And if you get hot for a couple of days, over a weekend, then, you know, that might get you to the Final Four.
I also noticed you did not bring up an SEC team. Auburn smoked Alabama last night. And I know Auburn took a loss on Saturday as their big man, McLemore, went down. He's done. Do you believe in the Tigers? Is that injury going to be too much with a dark cloud looming? Where do you have Auburn in the picture and the SEC as a whole?
Yeah, I think Auburn is probably right in that same level with UNC, that sort of next tier of teams. We'll see how, you know, their roster and injury issues play out. We'll also obviously see what happens with the whole recruiting FBI stuff. You get the feeling that that will be a long time down the road, but you never know. I mean, you talk to people sometimes and they make it seem like it could be a, so, you know, you never know. But I mean, I think Auburn is a very good team, really solid, kind of a classic Bruce Pearl team, and a lot of athletic guys that get up and down. They guard you and extended, not all the way sort of full court press, but pretty close. I don't know if you would, I mean, they could absolutely make a deep run, and Bruce Pearl's been really good in the tournament traditionally. Difficult for me to consider them a national title contender. And I think that's the interesting thing about the SEC this year with Kentucky being a little bit down is that it is as good as it's been in a long time in terms of its depth and sort of solidity across the top two-thirds of the league. The fact that it's in, you know, competition with the ACC to get the most bids this year is really impressive. But I don't think it has a team like Virginia or Duke in the ACC or even Michigan State and Purdue from the Big Ten, which has had a really bad year. I don't think it has that top tier sort of elite level national title contender. I think between Auburn and Tennessee, the range of teams, sort of the ceiling of teams in the SEC is a little bit lower.
Feels like a lot of good teams, not necessarily a great team. We're talking college hoops with Iman Brennan. And Iman, as you look at Tennessee in particular, last night the big win over Florida at home, they needed that one. Now they're assured of finishing no worse than second in the SEC. Grant Williams with a rebound effort of 23 points. Rick Barnes had sort of called him out over his play the last week or so. He comes out and was great when he was on the floor battling foul trouble last night. But to get 23 points and get that big win, does he have to play with that same energy, passion, focus for Tennessee to do anything in March? What's the ceiling for Tennessee, and how much does Grant Williams have to lead them there?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think it's necessarily reasonable to expect him to play as well as he did last night all the time, because he had a really, really good game. I mean, he missed five shots. And had a ton of possession and used it really efficiently. But I think it is, like, Tennessee has set, like, it's really impressive when you look at what Tennessee was a year ago stylistically and what they are now. Not just that they're good now and we're bad, you know, we're mediocre a year ago, but the way they're playing, I think they've sort of set a base where they guard really well, and at least most of the time. And they shoot it a lot better than they have, particularly last year. And they don't take a ton of threes, but it's there if they need it. And I think if you have Williams as sort of the centerpiece on that foundation, and he's playing well and the shots are falling, then you've got, you know, your bases are pretty much covered in a tournament situation, because I do think Tennessee in the tournament will continue to guard really well. I think they are, you know, a legit sort of Final Four contender, depending on, you know, how everything goes with the tournament and matchups and the draw and all that stuff. But they certainly have the ability to get there, and the style that they're playing now and sort of what they've sort of set themselves up foundationally with, it just takes a couple, like we said with North Carolina, it just takes a couple good nights where you have some shots fall and you get good performances out of guys and maybe the right matchup, and you never know.
On the other side of that, Florida was a team that was overrated, but still rated in the top five at the beginning of this year, now is 8-7 in the SEC after last night. What's going on with the Gators, and is Mike White in any sort of trouble here early in his tenure in Gainesville?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say so. I think what they did last year was a huge sort of validation of the hire, and he's, you know, it's still early in his tenure anyway. I mean, if they hadn't had that year ago, I'd still be saying right now that he would be a no. You know what I mean? If they were just as good last year as they were this year, he'd probably be fine anyway. But in terms of Florida, yeah, it is a little odd because you expected them, after having the season they had and everybody coming back and the run they made, you know, it's one thing to have a good tournament run and have, you know, some guys coming back. That obviously leads to high expectations. But the way they actually played last year, particularly on the defensive end, where they were one of the best defensive teams in the country, was, you know, made you think that this was just sort of going to be how it was moving forward. And it turns out that, you know, Casey Hill and some of the other guys they lost, you know, John Egbonu, was like, they were really good individual defenders that elevated the rest of their team, their teammates, on the defensive end of the floor, and that just hasn't been the case this year. They've been okay on the defensive end. I mean, they're the third best defensive team in the SEC, I think, per possession. But they are not as good as they were, and that's as true on the offensive end, where, you know, they're making well below 50% from inside the arc, and there just isn't a whole lot of dynamism to their offense the way there was a year ago when they had Hill alongside Chioza really attacking, getting up the floor, playing fast. Kevon Allen has not had nearly as good a season as he did last year when, you know, his volume was even higher and his percentages were all way up. So it's a combination of things with Florida. I think they're just okay. They're fine. They should get in the tournament, I think, relatively easily, but it isn't anywhere near the year people were expecting, that's for sure.
Iman, every year we sit around and we wonder if this is the year Kansas goes down and does not win the Big 12. And every year there seems like there's a new challenger and we think, hey, maybe this is the year. This year it seemed like the Jayhawks were particularly vulnerable and maybe Texas Tech was built to do it. And then you look up last night and you see Texas Tech loses again at Oklahoma State. And with three games left, Kansas is in the driver's seat for a 14th straight Big 12 title. Will that ever end?
Yeah, I'm never going to predict that it does. It would take a lot for me at this point if Bill Self is coaching a Kansas basketball team to pick anybody else to win the league. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a couple years ago when Buddy Hield and Oklahoma were really, really good. And you looked at, I think it was halfway through, you know, through the first eight or nine games of conference play, and Kansas had lost a couple and Oklahoma had started really well and Kansas still had to go to Oklahoma. And mathematically speaking, the odds were very much in favor of Oklahoma winning the Big 12 title. And that, at that time, that was like, oh, this looks like it's the year. Look how good Oklahoma is. And Kansas is, you know, they're already, you know, behind the eight ball. And of course, Kansas went to OU and won the league. It kind of feels like that this year. We'll see what happens on Saturday. You know, they have to play at Texas Tech. That'll be a massive game and a really fun one to watch. But depending on how Texas Tech is injury-wise, and, you know, I think there's a level of pressure that comes with, like, there's, it's two-sided. Kansas players and coaches and probably the fan base, I mean, feel the pressure of, like, we don't want to be the team that doesn't win it, right? You don't want to be the team that ends the streak. And I think every other team in the Big 12 would very much like to be that team. Even if you're a bad team and just beating Kansas randomly late in the season ends it, like, there's something to that, too. And I think there's a sort of psychological element that goes on there where people put a lot more pressure on themselves than they otherwise would for a random regular season game against a good team, which is, you know, pressure in and of itself. And I think that helps sort of perpetuate it, that extra edge exists there for Kansas, where I think teams get really fired up to play them and come out, and it doesn't, you know, it can work both ways, and it doesn't always work out for you know, teams trying to knock them off the perch.
Last thing, Iman, I think Rick Pitino borrowed Wonder Woman's bracelets yesterday at his press conference. A lot of deflecting, as always. Still, I know he's just a victim. His program is clean and he's innocent. The sanctions that came down on Louisville, what were your thoughts? We know 4 years wiped away, a national championship wiped away, two Final Fours wiped away, a lot of things taken down. What did you think?
Yeah, it's not surprising. It wasn't surprising at all. I thought the idea that they would get some leniency on appeal seemed pretty unlikely, given that, you know, this situation that they were punished for was completely pre-existent to anything with the FBI's investigation into various assistant coaches, anything, you know, and Louisville obviously was named in that, and Rick Pitino was not directly named, but was, you know, one of the coaches euphemized in the document. So I wouldn't have expected the NCAA to be lenient in any way, shape, or form with Louisville, but it is sad because, you know, completely separate from all the stuff with the program and with Rick Pitino, that team itself, the actual kids and the players, and this is, I almost hesitate to say this, which is weird, but it's because it's used so often by coaches, particularly Pitino yesterday, and Louisville throughout the process of like, oh, but these kids, they were such good kids. It's not their fault, et cetera, et cetera. But it is true that that was a really good team, and those guys were good, and Russ Smith was hilarious, and they were an incredible defensive team, and were not like it. You know, they had some top recruits, but Luke Hancock was a transfer from George Mason who played lights out in the title game, and it was not a team of like star-studded NBA players, but a really good, really well-coached team, and it's sad to see their accomplishment, at least in name, be taken down. And it's the same thing with Pitino. I mean, he is completely separated from anything off the court. He is arguably the best defensive coach maybe in the history of college basketball. If you look at his teams defensively every year, basically, that he was at Louisville for the past almost decade and a half, were among the four or five best in the country. Like, that never happened. It almost never happened. And what he is capable of on a basketball court, on the sideline, after timeouts, I mean, he is genuinely a basketball genius. And the fact that his sort of college basketball coaching tenure is ending this way, it's honestly pretty sad.
Enjoyed the visit. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Iman.
Yeah, happy to do it.
Iman Brennan, the Fieldhouse college basketball analyst. Really appreciate him talking some college hoops with us. Good stuff. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour next.